Hey everyone, welcome back to the Everything Dog Show. This is an exciting day because it's our first ever Q&A podcast.
I know we've been promising it for a long time, but we've been very bad at delivering. So here it is.
Here it is, our first Q&A. So we'll go through a lot of these questions. Thanks so much for asking them. We're excited to answer them all. So we'll start with number one. How do you get an uneasy dog to feel more comfortable around other dogs?
And I asked you to go for it. That was one of yours.
Oh, got it. Okay, so how to get an uneasy dog to feel more comfortable. Number one is don't force a bad interaction. And I'd say if you have dogs that are not very social or not balanced properly and don't know how to socialize properly, if you put an uneasy dog into the mix, it's not going to work well. So the key is you need dogs that are relatively social. And the problem is it's impossible to find those dogs.
Yeah.
So if you have friends who have relatively balanced dogs, walk with them. Go for a leash walk. Minimum 15 to 20 minutes is my absolute minimum. They shouldn't be overly interacting too much. And if the uneasy dog is opening up and willing to take more advances, you're getting somewhere. But if that uneasy dog is making advances towards the more energetic dog, the more social dog, and if the social dog just takes it a little bit too far, like, you know, those friends that take jokes a little bit too far, and then you're going to take the uneasy dog and you're going to send him backwards.
Yeah.
So I'd say the key is the uneasy dog should be slowly introduced,
yeah,
with a lot of time, with really calm, calm interactions, and there should be some obedience involved.
Yeah, I would say mostly just existing around each other as opposed to interacting with each other.
Yeah,
that's the best way to introduce to a new dog.
And the most important thing also is make sure you go at the uneasy dog's pace.
Yeah,
always, because the uneasy dog will tell you, "I can't really handle this."
Yeah.
Slow it down, listen, and follow it, and they'll be fine. Anything to say about that, Cass?
No, you pretty much covered it.
Cool. All right, next question. How many dogs do you guys have? I have 2 Belgian Malinois. That's all I've got.
I have 2 dogs. I have a beagle and a street dog.
I have 1.5 dog. I have Chets, who's a massive mix, and I'm considering taking Bird. Kind of depends on how they're going to get along.
Yeah.
He's an old man, and I don't want his old years to be shitty because he doesn't get along with the dog that I bring on.
And Bird is too risky anywhere else. So.
Yes, that's our whole debate.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good. So thanks for asking. Actually, Cass, you have another dog.
Oh, I have Freddy too.
Cass has a street dog, and her name's Wolfie. She's gorgeous. And then Cass has a beagle.
Yeah.
He's a monkey.
I have 2 super social dogs and 1 dog who's like me. I'll be here.
I have 1 superstar Malinois who can do everything without trying, and I have another one that tries so hard but just can't quite get it.
And I have a Chet.
Broly's the superstar. He can do everything in 1 second. And Scooter,
Broly trying to catch a frisbee is the funniest thing.
And Scooter takes about a year to get to the same level.
Oh Jesus. And then I have a Chet, who is just a piece of work. I love him to death. He's a piece of work.
Definitely a piece of work. Good. All right. Next question. This is a funny one. Can you make a husky attack on command? So I'm just going to answer by saying, theoretically, you can make a husky run. I've heard of a Malamute that can do personal protection, an Alaskan Malamute. And they look like huskies, if you guys are wondering what that is. You probably can't. Most huskies are not built for that type of work. It's like getting a... like, what's a really non-working dog?
A pug.
It's like getting a pug to be an African scent detection dog that gets all the wildlife sanctuaries dealt with.
Yeah.
Wrong dog, wrong job.
Yeah, that's perfect breakdown for it.
Yeah, you can get a husky.
You probably could if you have, like, the perfect husky for that. But it requires a lot of...
You can make them run and... you can probably make them bark.
Yeah.
Bark... to scare someone off on command, yes, you can do that. If that's really such a concern, you can get a dog to guard you and bark. That's fine. I don't know why you would really want that. But yeah, it's just not what they're built for.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're built for running away. Like, what are you talking about? All right. How do you feel about dogs on furniture?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a very good one.
That's a good one. My take on it is it depends on the dog.
Yep.
If you have a dog that is reliable in most scenarios, that's respecting when you call them off of it, that's respecting you when you ask them to do anything, then sure, you can have dogs and furnitures. If you have a dog that's not solid, that's pushing boundaries and doing all that, definitely not.
Definitely not, yeah.
Definitely not.
I think people take that a little bit too harshly these days, the dogs on furniture thing. I don't know. I think it's misinformation. It's not a big deal having your dog on furniture. However, if they have separation anxiety, if separation they're resource anxiety, guard,
yeah, reactivity,
if they're territorial,
yeah,
it's not allowed.
Redirecting and things like that.
Yeah, I would consider it. It's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So if all
yeah.
the pieces of the puzzle are not okay and they're not fitting yeah. together, and if you add the furniture, it's just bad.
Yeah.
But exactly. if your dog's great and doesn't do anything bad,
yeah.
why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it. Yeah, good. Okay, what's next? How do you get a dog to not react to other dogs that bark?
A lot of training.
Training.
Yeah. That's the short answer, but that's the long answer.
Exposure.
Yeah, but even then, if it's exposure, but you can't address it,
yep.
it just makes things yeah. worse.
I think the key is that you have to make things really easy for the dog to understand. So if your dog's obedience is already not good,
yeah.
and if your dog can't heel properly, or if your dog can't hold a sit properly, so let's say you're sitting at a picnic table,
yeah.
and another dog barks at your dog, and if you correct your dog for breaking a sit, not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so obedience is important, and your dog should understand a no
yeah.
with a correction, and if your dog doesn't understand any of that and reacts back,
yeah.
it's just not ready for that situation.
Absolutely.
Good. All right. How do you decide which dogs go together for socials? That's a very good question.
That's a great question.
I like this question. You want to answer that, Cass?
Sure.
I'll help.
That's a very loaded question. There's a lot of different
Let's start with types of dogs then.
Types
so
of
energy
dogs?
Level and size is important. So we're yeah. not going to put a cane corso on a social with a dachshund or
yeah.
because the cane corso gets excited and steps on the dog.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good.
Yeah. I guess matching energy levels, matching yes. sociability levels.
Yep.
And I guess size is a big, yeah. big thing that comes into it.
Yep.
When
yep.
I used to work in a doggy day camp, there was a Shih Tzu that always used to go in the large camp room with all of the like Great Danes and all that kind of stuff just because his energy level matched the size level of calm large dogs.
Ah,
yeah. Right? So smart. He did really good in that setting, but he did really bad with smaller dogs that were more calm.
Okay.
So it just depends on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it depends on the mediators, I think, too, the dogs you have around. Yeah, so like yeah. Sepco would do fine with any dog. I
yeah.
think she's a Doberman that always comes here that we work with.
Yeah.
Ashton would do fine with most dogs, your dog.
Yeah.
He gets along with a lot. I think Snoopy's a very good mediator, and my old dog, Moxie, was awesome.
Yeah.
So if there was ever things that were getting too escalated, she'd run in and just bitch at them.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, you guys are having yeah. too much fun, cut it out. Cut it out
yeah,
now.
Basically it takes yeah. very stable dogs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it takes us knowing the dogs that are coming into the social.
Yeah, but if you guys are basically wondering, to make it simple,
yeah.
similar energy levels...
Yeah, and sociability, I think, is important.
Sociability.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to put one jerk dog with a bunch of nervous dogs.
Yeah, or, like, one hyper-social dog with, like, somebody like Chet who's, like, I'm cool existing around you, but I want nothing to do with you. Or Wolfie, for example.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we balance that out.
Yeah.
It's, like, there's a specific way to do it. It's, I think we'll might have to, like, do a video of that
yeah,
for people
yeah.
to really understand.
Yeah, we should.
How do you respond to people who are aggressively anti-e-collar / prong?
This is a great question. It's awesome.
I think we all have our own answers.
Yeah.
Do you want to answer first?
Yeah, so my personal answer is, first of all, it's my dog.
Yeah.
I do what I want with my dog. Second, I love my dog and I would never put, because usually they're against it because like, oh, you're hurting your dog and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I love my dog to death and this is the reason why he has those tools on. I'm doing what's best for him and mind your business.
Exactly.
But thanks for your concern.
Mind your own business. So how would, I think the more of the questions asking is how would you respond? So if someone were to ask you something, you would say mind your own business?
Well, I would,
you'd be
it
nice?
Kind of depends.
Okay.
It depends, like, where they're coming from when they ask the question. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who will come in, like headstrong and be like, why do you have tools on, and blah, 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 with, like, a very... No, but it's true.
They
will, like,
that.
Judge
yeah.
you heavily for it.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'd be like, I'm doing what's best for my dog. Thanks. Moving on. And then I would just walk away. But if there is somebody who's, like, genuinely, like, curious about it, I'd try to educate them. See
yeah.
if there is, like, any...
That's true.
Any, like, wiggle room to, like, for them to hear what I have to say, then, yeah, I would have a conversation with them because, again, they're very misunderstood tools. So if they have just a little bit of an open door to, like, sneak some information in there, then I'd do it.
Yeah.
I don't know for you guys.
I'm probably along the same lines as that.
Yeah.
I get super anxious in those kind of situations.
Do you?
So I just try... Oh, yeah. So I just totally try to avoid it in the first place. I'm like... Well, this works. So I've tried a million, and then the biggest thing I always say is that I've always tried a million other things.
Yeah, and
this is and as a dog trainer,
yeah.
I've tried a million things.
Yeah.
I've tried PR positive. I've tried with hundreds of dogs,
yeah.
And this is the thing that I see consistently work And
that's a great answer.
And I have tons of freedom with my dog, and I can take them into any situation. They always listen. Yeah. So the biggest thing for me is like, but look how well he's listening.
Yeah.
And does he look sad?
Yeah.
Because it's usually always Ashton.
Yeah.
Right. So he's off leash playing ball. There's hundreds of people around. I'm like, he's listening perfectly, and he's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm using it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you're a little more rough, so
I'm pretty aggressive. I'm pretty aggressive because I've been dealing with it for so long.
Yeah.
It started when I had a black prong on Moxie, and I think back then people thought, why would you put a prong on a beagle? They don't know anything about beagles. And Moxie was a little bit dramatic on the prong when I first had her on her. And what was I must have been 17 when I had a prong on her.
So it's easy to bombard you. When so, you have a young person.
I was a kid, I was always walking around like the neighborhoods around here. And Scarborough, no one cares.
Yeah.
But around here, I was always walking Moxie through these neighborhoods, and people are very judgmental.
Yeah.
So I think I developed a harsh, spiked skin at a young age.
Damn.
So, but I would say now, nowadays, as long as my dogs are being obedient, people don't ever ask me that question because they're looking at the dogs and they're like, oh, wow, those dogs are very well behaved, so they don't really ask. But if someone were to come up to me and go, oh, why do you have a choker on them? I'd probably say something like, you're a dumbass.
I don't think people would ask you because you just have an energy of like...
Yeah, leave me alone.
Don't ask me. I'm busy.
And you're a dude. As women.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's true. As women,
yeah,
we get it a lot
it really.
More. Because they feel like they can bully us a lot more.
Especially
if they
have one of those easy dogs with a harness on.
Uh-huh.
And they feel like they're super... They're the best dog trainers in the world.
Yeah.
They feel
yeah.
like they taught Cesar Millan, right? So they...
like,
I directed the show.
Yeah,
so that's what they feel like. So when they come up to you and they see your dog on a prong or knee collar, they really belittle you.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is kind of sad that happens.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
those are the people.
Yeah.
But if someone were to do that to me, I don't explode, but I'm so aggressively mean that I would happily make someone cry.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah.
I would happily make someone cry.
Oh, Christ.
So I don't know. I don't have a direct answer, but I would probably swear. Well, if I don't have my Canine Academy sweater on,
God.
I'm going all out. all the swear words. We don't need to do that.
All the swear words. That's
right.
The first time you've said that on here.
So kibble or raw food for puppies?
I feed my puppy raw.
That depends. So when Broly was a puppy, I did kibble and I did hot dogs as much as I could because his motivation for kibble wasn't super high as a puppy, but his motivation for hot dogs was very high. Raw food is just very exhausting to do with puppy training.
So exhausting with puppies.
Yeah.
So if you're asking from specifically a feeding standpoint, raw food all the way.
Yeah.
But for training, if you have the time and energy to do it, sure.
Yeah, because it gets messy because we do like most training with puppies, it's with food.
Yeah.
So it gets messy. That's the only thing.
I agree.
And it's time consuming.
Yeah.
Super time consuming.
And then we had a great podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where she really made a point of like, if you want to do raw with your puppies, make sure they get everything they need. Because puppies have different requirements than adult dogs.
Yeah.
So just make sure. Just contact Canine Engineer. She'll give you the rights.
Yeah, contact
them.
Either way, like if you're training personally for me, if I had the time, I would do raw.
Yeah, for sure.
But with Broly, he was on kibble because it was the only way I could train him and be time efficient.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I wish I did not do that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any different opinion on that or you'd go raw?
Think just raw, but I think you're right.
Yeah, if you're training your
kibble for practicality.
Yeah.
It is very hard to train a dog with raw food, especially consistently every single day. If you're trying to train your puppy every day or twice a day or multiple times,
it's hard.
It's like it's next to impossible.
Yeah, you have to thaw the food. You have to get your gloves. You have to give them small little pieces. It's really hard.
I'd rather just feed it to him frozen.
Exactly.
Or work with kibble.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I guess long answer short, if you're just feeding them and not training them, raw food all the way.
Yeah.
If you're trying to train them, you have to figure out if you have time to do raw.
Yeah.
If not, kibble's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, next. What are some what are some tricks and tips to handle your dog's reactivity?
That's a loaded question.
Long question.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks. So to handle dogs' reactivity, that's a long answer.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks. Obedience is key.
Yeah.
Make sure your dog knows a heel.
Accountability.
Yeah. Accountability for breaking command must be high.
Yeah.
If it's not high, if your dog's sniffing everything, if your dog's just being a jerk, aloof on the walk, your dog's going to react.
Yeah.
If your dog...
And it's also, I think we often forget the broader picture of things. We're like, I'm just looking at the dog reactivity and that's all I want to solve. But if your dog is a jackass at home and not listening to you and like not following through to commands, that's where you start.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. That's a good thing to bring up, because if your dog is reacting to dogs in the house, so let's say your dog, if you're in a condo and your dog hears people or other dogs in the hallway and starts reacting, you need to address that first.
Yeah.
And then if your dog looks out the balcony, or if your dog is in your front window and barking, you need to address that first.
Yeah.
Because once you go outside, it's going to be multiplied.
For sure.
Or even just something as small as, like, your dog getting away with not obeying commands inside the house. Like, if you ask your dog to go lie on place or something, and they just blow it off and go lie on the couch, like, yeah, your dog's like, okay, screw you, lady. I'm not listening to what you say in here. I'm definitely not listening outside.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Good. So, yeah, long question. That's training is the best way to go.
Yeah.
But for now, just use those tips and tricks. If they don't work, you're going to have to pick up the phone. You're going to have to pick up the phone, like, now. Okay. Where can I take a dog behavior course in Toronto?
That's a good question. So in Toronto, currently, I don't think there is much going on.
Not much. Well, whatever they decide to take, even if it's, if they find one in Toronto, make sure it's not a written test.
Yeah, written tests are really crappy. Yeah. So unfortunately, like, all the behavior, like, certification and things like that that happen in Toronto is, like you said, it's written tests, it's things like that. And very often, we might be a little biased, but they're usually pure positive based.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate, because we see the limitations of it. There is the positive side of it, absolutely, but there are usually some limitations. So if you want to do, like, just teaching a dog, like, basic markers and things like that, like sit down and basic obedience, yeah, sure, go for it. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a more in-depth and a bigger, broader spectrum of dog training, I think that will not satisfy what you're looking for.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So we have, I think, yeah, I assume you have some of the certifications and stuff too, right?
No, I don't.
Nope. I have like one of everything, and I haven't used any of it ever.
Yeah.
So basically, a lot of that stuff is semi-useless. The best advice, if you want to learn anything about dog behavior, find a mentor.
Yeah, mentor.
Find somebody who is experienced, knows what they're doing, and can show you everything. Like, that's what you were to me. I have every piece of information from online, but where does that really get you?
Yeah. Exactly.
When you don't have the hands-on experience.
Yeah, and like, I took my I'm not going to list any names, but I took my certifications back then. I saved money for it, and I thought, this is where I can learn to be a dog trainer.
Yeah.
I did the written courses, and the clicker foundations that I learned were not as good as I learned from, like, a good sport trainer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I spent thousands of dollars that I saved, and I felt like I burned my money. Yeah. So for that case, I'm not going to put down any institutions, because they've probably done good for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it didn't work for us. It didn't work. I still, to this day, have learned better strategies from people who've never even been to that institution ever, and they've been much better for me, and I didn't have to spend thousands of dollars.
Same.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we are going to, once the whole Corona thing, and once we have, like, a permanent home, we are going to launch a shadow. We're going to launch, like, a bunch of programs for that purpose. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, like, a dog training school, but if people want to learn more about dog training, we'll have something rolling probably by the end of the year.
Yep. And even if, like, they just want to expand their skill set for whatever they do, if they have a rescue, if they're a groomer,
absolutely,
it'll help them. Good. All right. Tips for nervous dogs regarding eardrops and nail trimming.
Jeez.
That's a good one.
Wear a muzzle.
So, muzzle. Just a little story on the side. Chet, my dog, just had an ear infection. And I had to put eardrops in his ears twice a day.
And we eat popcorn while she does that, because it's very entertaining.
It's quite the ordeal, because he hates it, and he's a very pissy dog, and he will tell me very clearly that he doesn't like it. So basically, it's muzzle, and it's happening. I'm not leaving you a choice of fighting it or trying to run away or being a brat. So it's really like power through it and just do it. Ear cleaning is never fun. I've never met a dog that likes ear cleaning.
No.
Yeah, never.
It's just not fun. It's super invasive. It's super uncomfortable, and they just hate it.
Yeah, that's an important point.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, there are lots of videos now that'll tell you to do everything slowly, desensitize the dog with the peanut butter. No, like
when you need to do ear cleaning, you don't have time to do that, because usually it's because there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just do it. Put a muzzle on. Be safe. Have multiple handlers if you need to, but power through it and just do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And for nail trimming.
Nail trimming, that's a hard one to discuss. Practice first.
Yeah.
And make sure you're really easy on the dog first. Don't trim the nails very much.
Yeah.
Muzzle on for sure.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does take, like, actual force. You have to hold your dog hard. Yeah. You have to hold their paw. They're going to be jerks. And the muzzle will make sure you're safe.
Yeah. Again, same example with Chet. When I first got him trimming his... We had to sedate him to get his nail trimmed.
Yeah.
Groomers wouldn't touch him. The vet was like, fuck no. So they just sedated him and then trimmed his nails. And then after that, I just... Like, I was like, I'm doing this once, not twice.
Yeah.
So I really, 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 really power through. And we had, like, full-on wrestling match.
Yeah.
For me to be able to cut one nail. And I did one at a time. And the more we practice it, the more he's like, yeah, this is not that bad. He's still being a jerk and I still muzzle him. But he just goes through it. And yeah, you can do like counter conditioning and like desensitizing and all that.
You can.
But it still needs to be finished for the dog to really understand it.
Exactly.
So you can counter condition and then leave halfway through. And the dog's like, this behavior I did is what made this all stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So just hold them accountable if they act like major jerk.
Yep.
So if they snap or do anything like that,
absolutely,
you need to continue.
Yeah,
you have to
just
continue.
Power through it.
Yeah, there's no tips or tricks really. It's just like, hey, this is happening, whether you like it or not. Remember, no matter how much peanut butter or steak you bring out, your dog will not ever like this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right, next question. Tips and tricks to properly communicate with your dog. It's a very, very like...
Some general loaded questions. Yeah.
Very general question.
We can do like whole podcasts on just one question.
So I'd say for this, tips and tricks. That's the key word. Be more fun is a tip.
Yeah.
If your dog is bored as hell during training, you're just... It was very hard for me to get more fun when I first started because I thought training was just training. I didn't know it actually had to be like, I had to be a goof. That was hard. So number one tip, I guess, be a goof. If your communication is not clear in your correction or in your reward, that needs work. Is there anything else?
What were we saying?
Low environmentals to start.
That's
super important.
So low environmental, low distractions and little things going on around you.
Yeah, start in your house.
I think it's very difficult to give tips and tricks because it's such a broad answer that it's not really like tips and tricks. It's just there's so much involved that you can't.
Yeah.
But basically like make sure your markers are good.
Yeah, if your markers are bad, there's actually no communication happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Markers are good. Don't reinforce the wrong things and correct bad behaviors and be fun and be aloof.
Yeah, and don't talk too much is important.
Yes.
Say all sorts of garbage words.
Yes.
Just use the words that you need to use.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Good. All right. How do you handle relationship fights regarding your dog? Yeah, this is we'll probably do a whole podcast on this.
Honestly, I don't know. You probably have the same answer as me in this one. Hire a trainer.
To talk to both of you?
Yeah.
That is a very good...
Because when it's just the two of you at home trying to figure out like what's going to work and what's not going to work, you're going to have different opinions. It's kind of like hiring a counselor for your marriage. Like when you have a trainer that gives you a third, they're neutral. They're here to tell you what's going to work and what's not going to work. And everybody can agree on that.
Yeah, it's usually because there are two different opinions on how to train the dog, and then they clash every single day.
Yeah, and like realistically, having a difficult dog can put like a lot of pressure on the relationship. Because I've been through it when we first got Chet. Like I was like, "That's it, I'm gonna break up because of a dog." lovely. And it's just because it adds a lot of stress to the everyday life, and just hire a trainer, like somebody that comes in, that is impartial and is giving you black and white answers, and then. It will make everything
and you
a
need
lot
someone
easier.
To tell you like, hey, like if this person's doing this and they're struggling, you need to support them.
Yeah,
like stuff like that. It's
yeah important. And sometimes like we have like even if one person comes up with an idea of like something that might work with a dog and the other one is like, well, I don't think this is gonna work, they don't really have like the backstory to explain why it's not gonna work. And you just never know who's right. When you have a trainer, you can ask that question. It's like, hey, if we tried this, would it work? And then you can have a professional who gives you a clear answer that you don't have to bicker with your spouse.
That's good.
That's a
good answer.
Yeah.
So get the trainer to tell you what is necessary to be done, and both of you need to hold each other accountable. Like that's what the trainer said. Doesn't matter what you want to do, doesn't matter what the other person wants to do.
Exactly.
Just do what the trainer said.
Exactly.
Good. Important. All right. How do you introduce bringing a second or third dog into the home? Wow, that's a good question. I've got lots of experience with this.
Yeah, go nuts.
Yeah, I can probably say that too because I just brought a new dog in a few months ago. Keep everything as like, just make it as low pressure as possible. So don't like, if you already have one dog that rules the house, especially when you have one dog who's the dog of the house, bringing in a second dog is a lot of pressure sometimes. So just don't... like expect them to be best friends and playing right off the bat. Don't expect your other dog's whole life to change. Try to keep things very, very consistent for the first dog. and don't put a lot of pressure on them. So, like, when I brought Ashton into the household, Wolfie's a super, super calm dog. So I just kind of kept them separated a lot at first. So Ashton would be in the crate a little bit more. Wolfie would be on place. Or Wolfie kind of just does whatever she wants a lot of the time. So let her do her own thing. And slowly introducing them on neutral grounds where I know Wolfie will have a lot of fun. Yep. So paying attention to what Wolfie likes. So just make sure you don't like throw a new dog in, especially if your dog might have some behavioral issues. So if your dog might be a little bit territorial of the house, don't expect a new one to come in and be the best friend.
And I think that's important what you said, that Wolfie was roaming free and then Ashton was in the crate. Mm-hmm. People have a very hard time understanding that two dogs can have different rules in the house.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's that's not because your dog too. Is allowed in furniture, that your new dog that's coming in is allowed the same freedom.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's something that they have to earn, and not all dogs need the same freedom or the same structure.
Yeah,
exactly.
Especially when you bring a new dog in the house.
And I'd say, like, a lot of people need to go against common culture when bringing in a new dog. They're like, here, you have to be best friends.
Yeah.
And it's not always the case. I didn't introduce Broly to Scooter for a month.
Mm-hmm.
When I had Broly and Scooter, and Scooter was very dog social, and he wanted to see Broly, but I knew Broly would piss him off.
Yeah.
Because he'd probably bite his neck and hang off his neck and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Which
that
he
they
does
do.
Now.
Yeah, he doesn't now. And I thought, okay, Scooter's going to get very annoyed, so I'm not going to push it yet. I let Broly see him and just develop a little bit mentally. And then this is especially for a young puppy, because 8-week-old puppies to 10-week-old puppies will bother your older dog. And if your older dog doesn't know how to be around a puppy, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
So take that super slow.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. This is a question directly for Cass. Which dog runs the show? Do you want to give them context?
Sure. So when I posted the question in my stories on Instagram, I also posted a picture of like my hiking pack at the same time. So it was like, I think it's 8 dogs I have in that picture, 7 or 8 dogs in that picture. And someone asked which dog runs the show. And I think they were referring specifically to that picture. My answer is me. I am the dog that runs the show. Because if I allowed dogs to just make their own decisions in the pack, it would be freaking pure anarchy. It would be ridiculous.
Nobody's allowed to run the show.
No one's allowed to run the show. But if there was a dog to run the show, it would be Wolfie. 1,000%. But she would only run the show because I decided that for the rest of the dogs. Because I don't want them bothering her and stuff like that. Because she's a little like... She's just quiet and slow, and she doesn't want dogs in her face all the time.
Yeah.
But that being said, I definitely, obviously, as the caregiver for the dogs during the day while I'm hiking with them, obviously I need to be in charge.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely. It's not like you go to a daycare and there's one kid that gets to be the leader of all the kids.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It would be the daycare teacher is in charge.
Exactly.
The teacher of the school is in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the house, specifically, Wolfie is in charge in terms of, like, Wolfie versus Ashton or Wolfie, Freddie, and Ashton. Wolfie's pretty much always, like, top
Even
dog.
With Freddie?
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
so
yeah.
Funny.
The queen. It's always the
Wolfie
queen.
Wolfie is the queen. Yeah. Wherever she goes, I think she thinks she's in charge. Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
My God.
Good. Yeah.
Good. All right. This is an interesting question. Have you guys ever been attacked by a dog / bit? This is great. I think if there are people out there that brag about being bit, so we're very quiet about these things.
Yeah.
It's very rarely happened. Like, if I ever get bit by a dog, I'll write myself off for a few days. I'm like, I'm pathetic. How the hell did I get nailed? What the hell?
Yeah.
But it next to never happens.
Yeah. It should not happen.
Yeah.
Have you, Coralie?
Well, Chet bit me. But I'm bummed.
So her own dog.
Yeah. Before training, before everything. So when we first got him, we walked him muzzled all the time and on the martingale. And then we're like, oh, he's okay. Like, I don't know why we're muzzling him because we're being safe and all that. Took off the muzzle. I walked him down the street. His arch enemy walked up. He lunged at him. I held him back with the leash. He turned around and he bit my leg. I was like, all right, noted. Muzzle it is. And I got bit once. I would say nipped by a... I can't even remember which dog it was, but it was a go-home session. And that was it's very interesting because it shows the relationship between the dog and the owners. Because the dog had never shown any kind of behaviors like this with me for the whole time the board and train. And then I asked that dog to like hold his obedience and like really hold him accountable to everything he's learned. And he nipped my leg.
Bleeding?
No.
Oh.
The owners didn't even notice.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my
didn't even
goodness.
Notice. It just, Cass? Like, nipped in the head of the action. And then we have, like, dogs like Hersey where we know it's gonna happen,
yeah.
and we just like put a glove on and we just like prepared
they bite
for
the
it.
Glove,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm.
It's just, hilarious.
Yeah,
it feels like an ant is just trying to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think we should like preface this whole thing by saying like we are extremely safe in everything that we
yeah.
do here.
Safe
exactly.
and careful.
We deal with like extreme dangerous dogs.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
Clay, the Dutch Shepherd that we had
yeah.
here, I think most people know about that dog because
yeah.
he was literally insane the
yeah.
day that he walked in. An extremely dangerous dog
mm-hmm.
who off muzzle, off leash, literally could have killed any one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is a dog that could kill somebody.
Yeah.
But we are like.
Overly cautious.
Extremely overly cautious.
Yeah.
Whenever we deal with a new dangerous dog, before we even touch that dog, the three of us sit down and we have discussions
yeah.
about like literally every single step along the way of
yeah.
how we'll handle any situation. So.
And we tend to keep muzzle on longer
yeah.
than other trainers because
yeah.
we would rather be safe than just be dumb superheroes that want to like prove a point.
Oh yeah, we're definitely not like cocky about anything,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
why
exactly.
we have very few.
Bites.
Very few as in zero bites
yeah.
here
yeah.
when it's all three of us.
Yeah, here nothing's ever happened to us.
Yeah, so I have two incidents that happened way before, obviously, training. there was one time when I worked in a kennel and I got cornered by a German Shepherd and I was all alone in the building. And I came to find out after that he was not okay with being handled by women. So he was like, you know how you hear about dogs being male aggressive?
Yeah.
I've literally never until that day heard about a dog being female aggressive, but this dog had like severe issues with women.
Wow.
So I put the slip lead on him. I walked him into the playroom to take him to the bathroom. And then I took the leash off and he was like, yeah. Game on, we're gonna fight. So I trapped him in this different room and then I got trapped in a second room behind him and I was like,
oh my god,
I was crying, I was banging on the windows, I was like, somebody help. And then a guy came in and took the dog, so yeah, so that I survived.
And he got you?
Huh? No, that dog
oh.
didn't get me. Are you kidding me? I was
so
scared. So
he was about to attack you?
Yeah, he was
wow.
gonna bite me. But I like closed myself in the room and cried and then I was fine. Someone came and helped. I will never ever get bit because I'm
ultra cautious.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
There was actually one time I got bit though. That was breaking up a dog fight. A dog that Coralie later ended up training. So now she's actually a great, great dog.
Yeah.
But
full circle.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
I know.
Yeah,
but realistically, breaking a dog fight, you have like
that was different. That had nothing to do with
you.
Me.
Have 90% chance of getting
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. actually, there were two dog fights that I got bit breaking up. One was this Airedale was getting humped by this like lab, and I tried to pull the lab off, and the Airedale redirected on me. Yeah, yeah, because
wow.
he was trying to get the lab. Off of him.
I see.
And then that other one where there was that Shepherd mix that you ended up training. She was trying to go for another Shepherd, and I stepped in the middle, and she grabbed me by the knee and kind of shook it around. But then they were fine.
Oh
after.
My goodness!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
She's a nice dog now.
She's apparently very nice
yes,
now. She just needed poorly.
Oh wow.
How about you?
Yeah, I've got some. Every time people ask me this question, I don't like answering because it's like nothing cool ever happened to me. It's like there's no big badass dog that tried to murder
yeah.
me. There was one time, so I had this little dog, Cockapoo DJ. He was showing all signs that he was completely fine.
Yeah.
He never showed any signs of sketchiness. And then I put him in the crate, and as I was taking my hand out of the crate, he just ran back towards the door and just started biting at my fingers. He bit me on my thumb.
Okay.
3.5 months old, ultra nervous dog. But he warmed up to me in like probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
And he was being really, really good. And I was like, okay, I put him in the crate.
So you thought.
As I'm closing the door, he just runs out and he's like, no, I'm going to get his thumb before he closes it. I was like, ow, what the hell? And I literally looked at my thumb and I was like, oh my goodness. And then I went upstairs, I locked myself in my room and I was like, how'd that happen?
Yes.
How the hell did that happen to me? How embarrassing. Long time ago in Scarborough, I've had a lot of close calls.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are from owner responsibility, irresponsibility.
Yeah.
There's one time I went to a house in Scarborough and they had an Anatolian Shepherd.
Oh,
and their front deck was only about, I'd say, 3 feet high, maybe
mm-hmm.
even 2.5 feet high. It was like under my waistline. And I pull into the driveway and I had my briefcase. In my briefcase, I had my dog truck because my dogs are e-collar. And as I'm pulling into the driveway, I get out of the car and she's outside holding the dog on a leash. The dog gives her one little pull. She falls over and the dog jumps over the gate. And I was like, okay, today's the day I die. I'm ready to accept it. Today's the day. So I was trying to figure out what to do because it's an Anatolian Shepherd. And they're usually They have a very strong guard temperament. So as he was running at me, I was like, I don't know what to do. If I run away, he's probably going to grab me by the leg.
Yeah.
So I just smashed him over the head with my dog turd briefcase, and then I got in the car.
Yeah. And those are extreme situations where it's either you or the dog.
Yeah. I just had to. And it's a plastic briefcase. Yeah. So it like broke.
It broke.
His head is like a bowling ball. Yeah. But it just bought me that quarter second to get into my car, and then he jumped on my car. Yeah. And I was like, okay, put him in the backyard and then we can talk. And then there's another situation a long time ago where I went to someone's house to train one of their other dogs. And as I'm putting a leash on their other dog, literally, I don't even know where it came out of. Literally came out of the closet and bit me in the ankle. And I was like, ow, what's biting me?
What kind of dog was it?
Chihuahua.
Yeah,
Chihuahua. So I literally felt like little pins were stabbing into my leg. I was like, who's that? I have a dog in front of me. Who's this? And they're like, oh, sorry, we have a second dog. I'm like, what? What the hell? So I just started biting at me. I started bleeding, and then I bandaged it up, and I started working with the other dog. So, yeah, that's two little dogs that got me.
The pride.
And then I'd say besides that, actual attacks, there have been lots of dogs that have been handed off to me from the owner because the owner just could not gear up the dog properly.
Well, a good example is Clay.
Clay, like, yeah.
Clay, if he didn't have a muzzle on that day on that video that you posted a few weeks ago,
he would have
It would have been your dying day.
Yeah, I've had a lot of those like muzzle attacks where I'm like, okay, hey, like I can't just sit here and wait for an hour for you to gear the dog.
Yeah.
Give it to me, I'll tighten everything up, and as I'm doing that, the dog will like muzzle butt me in the leg. Yeah. Jump up at my face and they're
well. I had a fun one with Oso too, similar to that.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
So Oso is a Pyrenees lab mix.
He's bigger than both breeds.
Yes, he's bigger. He's huge. He's
gigantic.
Huge. Yeah, and he was known to guard his owner, so I asked the owner to muzzle the dog, and then when the dog was like muzzled safely, we did muzzle checks and all that. When he went to hand me the leash, as soon as he extended his arm and my arm was extended too, also was like, excuse you? And he came like full on for my face. And he's a big dude. I was like, all right, I am glad you have a muzzle on. This was fun. Let's start from scratch. Yeah. But yeah, again, because we're being extremely, extremely safe, all those close calls, just nothing ever happens because we're being so safe.
Yeah. And even if it does happen, because people make mistakes.
Yeah.
We hope it never does.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, we made a safety mistake. But for it not happening to us, and we've had a lot of very sketchy dogs this year, we're doing things safe and proper.
Yeah.
I think that's always how we'll do them.
Every dog that walks in the door, we expect it's going to be the worst. Most vicious, aggressive dog.
And I think that's a cool thing because you and I were working out of our house for a very long time, and taking those dogs in was always a big stress and a big question mark.
Yep.
But the fact that it's the three of us right now, we can really come up with game plans. And when you have one person handling a dog, you always have the other two that are nearby in case shit hits the fan. And like,
exactly.
To defend you so you don't die.
Exactly. You might end up in the hospital, but you will not die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
but
that's,
if it's just one-on-one, you and a dangerous dog,
it's scary.
It can go really bad.
Yeah. I'm sure you've had those dogs that are like huge, not muzzled, and all of a sudden they're like, I will not go in the crate.
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
now what?
Well, now what?
Yeah, oh boy.
It is fun.
There was one Rottweiler that got dropped off at my house. I remember slightly before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I forget the dog's name. And they dropped the dog off, and they're like, yeah, he's super, super social. And I was like, okay, he looks like it. Cool, I trust you. And, no muzzle on him or anything. And they just said all he does is he just resource guards food, but he's very social. He loves all of us. So they dropped him off, and I was like, okay, cool. He's here. It's like 4 days before Christmas. And I was like, all right, I tried to put a slip lead on him, and he jumped up, and he had no muzzle on, and he was big. And I was like, okay, this dog is not social at all. Jumped up, teeth out and everything. But luckily, as he jumped up, the slip lead was on him.
Oh.
So I stopped him.
Yeah.
And that would have been very bad. And my girlfriend at the time was watching the whole thing, and she was like, what on earth happened? Like, this dog is literally coming up at you and is not geared up. Like, this is scary. And that was the last time I took someone's word for their dog being social.
Yeah. That's also like one of our rules. Like,
you
say your dog is social, we will put him through our test to
until
define.
We see
exactly.
Yeah. And we'll put him through the test with the muzzle on.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I called them back. I said, okay, get the muzzle on him and do everything properly, and then we can get to work.
Yeah.
And then things were fine. But if they were going on a trip to like Ottawa or something, if it was just me and that dog without a muzzle and they had already left Ottawa, I would be in some big trouble.
It's stressful. Like, you can start sweating and you're like, what am I going to do? That dog that's coming for boarding on Friday?
Yeah.
So he was very pissy putting him in the crate. He's a big guy. He's a Pyrenees too, mix something. He was being very pissy being put in the crate. So he was muzzled for a good week.
Okay.
And then he was doing great. Going in the crate, no issues. We did like tons of reps. Going in the crate on command, he was doing great. Took off the muzzle. It was like, oh, lady, big mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Walk up to the crate and he's like, eh? No. I was like, fuck.
He's like, guess what? I can use my teeth now.
Damn it. So same thing. Start sweating. Take a deep breath. And you're like, all right, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's scary. So like having a team now, it actually allows us to take... Not that we want to brag about it or like say anything, but like it allows us to take more dangerous dogs because we have a team.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like Draco.
The best thing is we hold each other accountable for safety. Like we run through a checklist on is everything here done? Okay, good. Now we can take this dog out.
Yeah, and we're also able to communicate with each other in a way that is... Because you and I had spouse in our house when we were training, and sometimes like communicating with people, even if you have a friend that comes and help you out or whatever, communication is like often misunderstood, and like in the heat of the moment we need to be able like to be super clear in communication and nothing needs to be taken the wrong way, and I think all three of us are really great at that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey dude, like the tab is not there, or like the muzzle is not tight, and it's not that we're like
no one's taking it wrong.
Exactly. We're not like picking on your skills and like you miss something. It's like, dude, for everybody's safety, this needs to happen.
Yeah, we're just filling all the loose holes. Things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good. Perfect.
Cool. That was the last question.
That's everything.
Oh, that was a fun one.
Yeah, good. All right, guys. So let us know. We'll probably do this in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And thanks again for the questions. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.